Chapter 18. Next comes King John, and he was a poor circumstance. He was called Lagland. He gave his realm to the Pope. Let him have 17 squares of yellow paper. Fig. 11. That creature is a jamboree. It looks like a trademark, but that is only an accident and not intentional. It is prehistoric and extinct. It used to roam the earth in the old Silurian times, and lay eggs and catch fish and climb trees and live on fossils, for it was of a mixed breed, which was the fashion then. It was very fierce, and the old Silurians were afraid of it, but this is a tame one. Physically it has no representative now, but its mind has been transmitted. First I drew it sitting down, but have turned it the other way now, because I think it looks more attractive and spirited when one end of it is galloping. I love to think that in this attitude it gives us a pleasant idea of John coming all in a happy excitement, to see what the barons have been arranging for him at Runnymede, while the other one gives us an idea of him sitting down to wring his hands and grieve over it. We now come to Henry III. Semicolon red squares again, of course 56 of them. We must make all the Henrys the same color, it will make their long reigns show up handsomely on the wall. Among all the 8 Henrys there were but 2 short ones. A lucky name, as far as longevity goes. The reigns of 6 of the Henrys cover 227 years. It might have been well to name all the royal princes Henry, but this was overlooked until it was too late. Fig. 12. This is the best one yet. He is on his way, 1265, to have a look at the first House of Commons in English history. It was a monumental event, the situation in the house, and was the second great liberty landmark which the century had set up. I have made Henry looking glad, but this was not intentional. Edward I. comes next. Light brown paper, 35 squares. Fig. 13. That is an editor. He is trying to think of a word. He props his feet on a chair, which is the editor's way, then he can think better. I do not care much for this one. His ears are not alike. Still, editor suggests the sound of Edward, and he will do. I could make him better, if I had a model, but I made this one from memory. But is no particular matter, they all look alike, anyway. They are conceited and troublesome, and don't pay enough. Edward was the first really English king that had yet occupied the throne. The editor in the picture probably looks just as Edward looked when it was first borne in upon him that this was so. His whole attitude expressed gratification and pride mixed with stupefaction and astonishment. Edward II. Now, 20 blue squares. Fig. 14. Another editor. That thing behind his ear is his pencil. Whenever he finds a bright thing in your manuscript he strikes it out with that. That does him good, and makes him smile and show his teeth, the way he is doing in the picture. This one has just been striking out a smart thing, and now he is sitting there with his thumbs in his vest holes, gloating. They are full of envy and malice, editors are. This picture will serve to remind you that Edward II was the first English king who was deposed. Upon demand, he signed his deposition himself. He had found kingship a most aggravating and disagreeable occupation, and you can see by the look of him that he is glad he resigned. He has put his blue pencil up for good now. He had struck out many a good thing with it in his time. Edward III. Next, 50 red squares. Fig. 15. This editor is a critic. He has pulled out his carving dash knife and his tomahawk, and is starting after a book which he is going to have for breakfast. This one's arms are put on wrong. I did not notice it at first, but I see it now. Somehow he has got his right arm on his left shoulder, and his left arm on his right shoulder, and this shows us the back of his hands in both instances. It makes him left-handed all around, which is a thing which has never happened before, except perhaps in a museum. That is the way with art, when it is not acquired, but born to you. You started to make some simple little thing, not suspecting that your genius is beginning to work, and swell and strain in secret, and all of a sudden there is a convulsion and you fetch out something astonishing. This is called inspiration. It is an accident. You never know when it is coming. I might have tried as much as a year to think of such a strange thing as an all-around left-handed man, and I could not have done it, for the more you try to think of an unthinkable thing, the more it eludes you. But it can't elude inspiration. You have only to bait with inspiration and you will get it every time. Look at Botticelli's Spring. Those snaky women were unthinkable, but inspiration secured them for us, thanks to goodness. It is too late to reorganize this editor-critic now. We will leave him as he is. He will serve to remind us. Richard 2. Next, 22 white squares. Fig. 16. We use the lion again, because this is another Richard. Like Edward 2. He was deposed. He is taking a last sad look at his crown, before they take it away. There was not room enough, and I have made it too small. But it never fitted him, anyway. Now we turn the corner of the century with a new line of monarchs, the Lancastrian kings. Henry IV. Semicolon 14 squares of yellow paper. Fig. 17. This hen has laid the egg of a new dynasty, and realizes the magnitude of the event. She is giving notice in the usual way. You notice I am improving in the construction of hens. At first I made them too much like other animals, but this one is orthodox. I mention this to encourage you. You will find that the more you practice, the more accurate you will become. I could always draw animals, but before I was educated I could not tell what kind they were when I got them done, but now I can. Keep up your courage. It will be the same with you, although you may not think it. This Henry died the year after Joan of Arc was born. Henry V. Semicolon 9 blue squares. Fig. 18. There you see him lost in meditation over the monument which records the amazing figures of the Battle of Agincourt. French history says 20,000 Englishmen routed 80,000 Frenchmen there, and English historians say that the French loss, in killed and wounded, was 60,000. Henry V. Semicolon 39 red squares. Fig. 19. This is poor Henry V, who reigned long, and scored many misfortunes and humiliations. Also two great disasters. He lost France to Joan of Arc and he lost the throne, and ended the dynasty which Henry IV had started in business with such good prospects. In the picture we see him sad and weary and downcast, with the scepter falling from his nerveless grasp. It is a pathetic quenching of a sun which had risen in such splendor. Edward IV. Semicolon 22 light brown squares. Fig. 20. That is a society editor, sitting there elegantly dressed, with his legs crossed in that indolent way, observing the clothes the ladies wear, so that he can describe them for his paper, and make them out finer than they are, and get bribes for it and become wealthy. That flower which he is wearing in his buttonhole is a rose, a white rose, a York rose, and will serve to remind us of the War of the Roses, and that the white one was the winning color, when Edward got the throne, and dispossessed the Lancastrian dynasty. Edward V. Semicolon 1/3 of a black square. Fig. 21. His uncle Richard had him murdered in the tower. When you get the reins displayed upon the wall, this one will be conspicuous and easily remembered. It is the shortest one in English history except Lady Jane Grey's, which was only 9 days. She is never officially recognized as a monarch of England, but if you or I should ever occupy a throne, we should like to have proper notice taken of it, and it would be only fair and right to, particularly if we gained nothing by it, and lost our lives besides. Richard 3. Semicolon 2 white squares. Fig. 22. That is not a very good lion, but Richard was not a very good king. You would think that this lion has two heads, but that is not so. One is only a shadow. There would be shadows for the rest of him, but there was not light enough to go round, it being a dull day, with only fleeting sun glimpses now and then. Richard had a humpback and a hard heart, and fell at the Battle of Bosworth. I do not know the name of that flower in the pot, but we will use it as Richard's trademark, for it is said that it grows in only one place in the world, Bosworth Field, and tradition says it never grew there until Richard's royal blood warmed its hidden seed to life, and made it grow. Henry Vie. Semicolon 24 blue squares. Fig. 23. Henry 7. Had no liking for wars and turbulence. He preferred peace and quiet and the general prosperity which such conditions create. He liked to sit on that kind of eggs on his own private account as well as the nation's, and hatch them out and count up their result. When he died he left his heir £2,000,000, which was a most unusual fortune for a king to possess in those days. Columbus's great achievement gave him the discovery fever, and he sent Sebastian Cabot to the New World to search out some foreign territory for England. That is Cabot's ship up there in the corner. This was the first time that England went far abroad to enlarge her estate, but not the last. Henry V. Semicolon 38 red squares. Fig. 24. That is Henry VIII. Suppressing a monastery in his arrogant fashion. Edward VI. Semicolon 6 squares of yellow paper. Fig. 25. He is the last Edward to date. It is indicated by that thing over his head, which is a last shoemaker's last. Mary. 5 squares of black paper. Fig. 26. The picture represents a burning martyr. He is in back of the smoke. The first three letters of Mary's name, and the first three of the word martyr are the same. Martyrdom was going out in her day and martyrs were becoming scarcer, but she made several. For this reason she is sometimes called Bloody Mary. This brings us to the reign of Elizabeth, after passing through a period of nearly 500 years of England's history, 492 to be exact. I think you may now be trusted to go the rest of the way without further lessons in art or inspirations in the matter of ideas. You have the scheme now, and something in the ruler's name or career will suggest the pictorial symbol. The effort of inventing such things will not only help your memory, but will develop originality in art. See what it has done for me. If you do not find the parlor wall big enough for all of England's history, continue it into the dining-room and into other rooms. This will make the walls interesting and instructive, and really worth something instead of being just flat things, to hold the house together. -1. Summer of 1899. The memorable assassination, note. The assassination of the Empress of Austria at Geneva, September 10, 1898, occurred during Mark Twain's Austrian residence. The news came to him at Kaltenleutgeben, a summer resort a little way out of Vienna. To his friend, the Rev. Jos. H. Twitchell, he wrote, "That good and unoffending lady, the Empress, is killed by a madman, and I am living in the midst of world history again. The Queen's Jubilee last year, the invasion of the Reichsrath by the police, and now this murder, which will still be talked of and described, and painted a thousand years from now. To have a personal friend of the wearer of two crowns burst in at the gate in the deep dusk of the evening and say, in a voice broken with tears, 'My God, the Empress is murdered,' apostrophe and fly toward her home, before we can utter a question why, it brings the giant event home to you, makes you a part of it and personally interested. It is as if your neighbor, Antony, should come flying and say, 'Caesar is butchered, the head of the world is fallen.' ... Of course there is no talk but of this. The mourning is universal and genuine, the consternation is stupefying. The Austrian Empire is being draped with black. Vienna will be a spectacle to see by next Saturday, when the funeral court ... marches." He was strongly moved by the tragedy, impelled to write concerning it. He prepared the article which follows, but did not offer it for publication, perhaps feeling that his own close association with the court circles at the moment prohibited this personal utterance. There appears no such reason for withholding its publication now. A.B. P. The more one thinks of the assassination, the more imposing and tremendous the event becomes. The destruction of a city is a large event, but it is one which repeats itself several times in 1,000 years. The destruction of a third part of a nation by plague and famine is a large event, but it has happened several times in history. The murder of a king is a large event, but it has been frequent. The murder of an empress is the largest of all events. One must go back about 2,000 years to find an instance to put with this one. The oldest family of unchallenged descent in Christendom lives in Rome and traces its line back 1,700 years, but no member of it has been present in the earth when an empress was murdered until now. Many a time during these 17 centuries members of that family have been startled with the news of extraordinary events, the destruction of cities, the fall of thrones, the murder of kings, the wreck of dynasties, the extinction of religions, the birth of new systems of government, and their descendants have been by to hear of it and talk about it, when all these things were repeated once, twice, or a dozen times, but to even that family has come news at last which is not staled by use, has no duplicates in the long reach of its memory. It is an event which confers a curious distinction upon every individual now living in the world. He has stood alive and breathing in the presence of an event such as has not fallen within the experience of any traceable or untraceable ancestor of his for 20 centuries, and it is not likely to fall within the experience of any descendant of his for 20 more. Time has made some great changes since the Roman days. The murder of an empress then, even the assassination of Caesar himself, could not electrify the world as this murder has electrified it. For one reason, there was then not much of a world to electrify. It was a small world, as to known bulk, and it had rather a thin population. Besides, and for another reason, the news traveled so slowly that its tremendous initial thrill wasted away, week by week and month by month, on the journey, and by the time it reached the remoter regions there was but little of it left. It was no longer a fresh event, it was a thing of Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.